We haven't finished the first aggregate yet. So we are in the middle of the aggregate of metta, page 497. We'll begin with paragraph 61, bodily intimation, verbal intimation, and so on. And as we said, there is a long footnote and very difficult to understand, and also some translations are not correct. So, bodily intimation is the mold, conformation, and the alteration, deformation in the consciousness-originated air element that causes the occurrence of movement forward, etc., which mold and alteration are a condition for the stiffening, upholding, and moving of the cognizant material body. So what is bodily intimation? After reading this definition, you don't know what it is. So I'll tell you. Now, we let other people know our intention by, say, bodily gesture. Now, that bodily gesture is what we call bodily intimation, but here it is couched in the language of the books. Now, bodily intimation is one of the 28 material properties. But bodily intimation is not air element, because if air element is bodily intimation, then wherever there is air element, there would be intimation, and there is not. So air element cannot be bodily intimation. Then chaitya born matter bodily intimation? There are other chaitya born material properties too, and they are not intimation. They do not help us to know the intention of people. Therefore, chaitya born matter is also not bodily intimation. Then, is movement bodily intimation? If it is, then there will be intimation in the movement of trees, in the movement of inanimate things, but there is no intimation. So, bodily intimation is a particular mode of air element, which is caused by chaitya. Chaitya, which causes going forward, going back, and so on. And this mode is a condition for there to be a stiffening or upholding of the limbs of the body, and so on. So that particular mode is what is meant by bodily intimation. So we cannot pick up bodily intimation and show you this is bodily intimation, because it is just a particular mode of the air element, because here air element is predominant, because where there is movement, there is this air element. Movement is caused by air element, and this air element is caused by chaitya here. So bodily intimation means just a particular mode of the air element, which is caused by chaitya. And that chaitya can cause the arising of moving forward, moving, going forward, going backward, and so on, stretching, bending, and others. But there is not intimation in all movements. Only movements of the beings, especially of the human beings. Now, if we want to let the other people know that we want him to come, then we use a kind of gesture. In this country, you use this gesture to call people. So when somebody sees this gesture, he knows that, he wants me to come. So that that particular mode in the movement of the hand is what we mean by bodily intimation. And verbal intimation. Verbal intimation means a particular mode of the earth element. There it is air element, but here it is earth element. A particular mode of earth element, which is caused by citta, which causes speech. So when we want to say something, then there is the citta, or the intention. And that citta causes the earth element in the place where voice is made, see, in the vocal cords. In the book it is not mentioned vocal cords and vocal cords are not used, but let us say vocal cords. So in these vocal cords there is matter caused by karma. So there is karma bound matter in the vocal cords along with other kinds of material properties. And when we want to say something, our mind produces the earth element, many particles of earth element, and these come together, the earth element caused by citta and the material property in the vocal cords. So they come together. So there is something like friction. And that friction causes the voice to arise. So there is the voice. So here also, verbal intimation is not just the voice, not just earth element, not just karma born matter, but a particular mode in the earth element, which causes voice or speech, and through speech we understand what the other person intends or what the other person wants us to know. So you hear my voice, and it is not just voice, these are words, and through these words you understand the meaning. And so for convenience sake we can say the articulate words are what we call verbal intimation. But actually it is a particular mode in the earth element caused by the citta, coming together with the dhamma bond matter in the vocal cords. And that we call verbal intimation. So for our convenience we can just say the speech to be verbal intimation. So through speech, through words, we make other people understand. And in order to understand the other people's intention or the meaning of the words, we need two conditions. First, we must hear the word. And second, we must have known the meaning of the word before. Only when these two conditions are met, will there be understanding. That is why when you speak quickly, I don't understand you, because I don't hear the words distinctly. And sometimes you may use a word which I do not know the meaning of. Then I will not understand you. So there are two conditions. One is they must come into the voice, or the words must come into the avenue of your eye, or they must strike your eye and you must hear clearly. That is one condition. And the other is you must have known the meaning of the word before. Then you understand. Otherwise, you do not understand.
You mean the ear, don't you? Not the eye.
Pardon?
You said the eye, but don't you mean the ear?
Oh, I'm sorry. Ear, not the eye. Thank you. So, if I say a word in Pali, then you may not understand. Although you hear the word distinctly, but you have not known this word or the meaning of this word, so you do not understand. So So just by being present, the sound or your voice cannot make us understand. And the the verse translated here on page 499 in the footnotes, the second part is not correct, although the first two lines are correct. Sounds that have entered no objective field do not awaken any kind of meaning. That is, sounds which we do not hear will not make us understand any meaning at all. And then the two lines, I mean, the third and the fourth lines are not correct, because Nyanamoli misunderstood the one word in the Pali or original, and that word is satta, S-A-T-T-A, long A. The second A is long A. Now, the word S-A-T-T-A with short A means a being, like bodhisattva, right? Satta. So a satta means a being. But satta with the long, second A long, means the state of being, or the state of being present, being existent, being present. And that is the word used in this verse, not the word satta. So that means not just by being present will they make us understand. These sounds or words make us understand. That means we may hear the words, but if we do not understand the meaning of the word, I mean, if we have not learned the meaning of the word before, then we will not understand. So this is verbal intimation, and our others are not so difficult to understand. And these two, bodily intimation and verbal intimation, are said to be caused by citta.
So those last two lines, then it would be something I could also, words merely recognized or words not recognized or something like that.
If their meaning is not known beforehand, simply by their presence, they cannot make us understand, something like that. Let me see. They will not show any meaning just by their presence if their meaning is not known beforehand. And the next material property is space element, or just space, paragraph 63. And it has a characteristic of delimiting matter. Delimiting matter really means group of matter, not just one material property, but a group of material property. Because material properties arise in groups, say 8 together, 9 together, 10 together, and so on. And this space element is said to be between these groups, say between one group and the other. And that is what we call space. That is delimiting. This is one group, this is another group, this is still another group, and so on. So that is called space. So delimiting matter means not one material property from another, but one group of materiality from another. And then comes three: lightness of matter, malleability of matter, and wieldiness of matter. These are actually some quality of the material properties: the lightness, malleability, and wieldiness. And they are explained in paragraph 65. See, lightness of matter is alteration of matter, such as any light, state in material instances is in one who is healthy. So when you are healthy, your body is something like light, agile, and so there is this lightness of metta in the body. And the second, malleability of metta is compared to a well-pounded hide. Say, when you want to make leather, and you soak the hide in water, I mean in salt water, and then you pound it again and again so that it becomes soft and malleable to whatever you want to do. So something like that is called malleability in metta. And the third one is compared to well-refined gold. So you want to make some ornaments out of gold. Then you refine the gold. So when gold is well refined, that is without any other, what about that, mixture or something, then it becomes easy to be made into any ornament you want. So something like that existing in the body or in the matter is called wildiness of matter. And these three, it is said, always arise together. So at the beginning of the paragraph 65, you see these three, however, are not found apart from each other. So when there is one, there is the other two. The other two, too. So these are three, actually, qualities of material property. And then, next we have growth of matter and continuity of matter. Now, you are familiar with the three phases of existence, right? Arising, continuation, and death or disappearing. Now, the first phase, arising, is described here as two, growth of matter and continuity of matter. So it is just it is called rebirth here, just the arising of matter. This arising of matter is here divided into two. One is growth of matter and the other is continuity of matter. Growth of matter is first arising, and continuity of matter is, as the word said, continuance. So the continuity of matter has the characteristic of occurrence, but it is not occurrence, it is continuing. Is there such a word as continuance? Or we can just say continuing. Has the characteristic of continuing to exist, not just occurrence. The Pali word can mean to occur as well as to continue after arising. Its function is to anchor, that means to join one with the other. Both of these terms are terms for matter at its birth. So the birth or the arising of matter is here called growth of matter and continuity of matter. And just one birth or arising is described with two names here because it is owing to difference of mode, and there is a little difference between the growth of matter and continuity of matter, and also according to different person's susceptibility to instruction. That means there are some beings who will understand better when one birth is described as two, growth of matter and continuity of matter. Now, it plays an important role, as at least in explaining why Buddha said, why Buddha taught in this way or why Buddha taught in that way. And that is, Buddha always have in mind the susceptibility of listeners. That means, if I use this word, will they understand? Then if they are not going to understand, then he may use another word. That is why there are many, many kinds of teachings in the teachings of the Buddha. Like, sometimes he taught by way of five aggregates. Sometimes he taught by way of 12 bases, sometimes by 18 elements, but actually they are all the same, different names given to one and the same thing. So sometimes, well, we may be familiar with one word, but not the other. So when a familiar word is spoken to us, we readily understand. So if the word is not familiar with us, then we don't understand. So if we don't understand, we cannot penetrate into the nature of things. So Buddha always exercised this.
He taught according to people's sharpness, if they were fast learner or slow learner.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And their likes and dislikes, mm-hmm. right? And this is one ability not shared by his disciples. Even Sariputta has no such ability to enter into the minds of listeners and finding out what will be suitable for them. That is why Sariputta gave a wrong meditation subject to his young student. So here Buddha wanted to say, wanted to teach so that it is suitable for their susceptibility. So in teaching, the teaching in the summary, that is in the Abhidhamma, in the Dhammasangani, is given as growth and continuity. But since there is here no difference in meaning, that means the difference in reality. Consequently, in description, that means a detailed description of these words, the setting up of sense bases is the growth of matter, and the growth of matter is the continuity of matter. So this is said in Dhammasangani. And in the commentary, it is genesis that is called setting up, increase that is called growth, occurrence that is called continuity. So here, three terms are given, setting up, growth, and continuity. And a simile is given here. Genesis is setting up is like the time when water comes up in a hole dug in a river bank. So when the water comes up, that is Genesis. Increase as growth is like the time when it fills the hole. And occurrence or continuance as continuity is like the time when it overflows. So these are just the simile to understand the two phases of one arising or one birth of material property, growth of matter and continuity of matter. So according to this, there will be four kinds of matter which are called characteristic matter, because actually they are a different phases of matter, say the arising, the continuance, and disappearing. So these two are for arising. And then the next is aging, paragraph 68. The characteristic of maturing or ripening material instances. So this is getting old. This is the continuing phase of existence, the arising, continuing, and disappearing. So it corresponds to the second phase. And here, aging, this is said with reference to the kind of aging that is evident through seeing alteration in teeth, etc., as their brokenness, and so on. Now, there are here given three kinds of aging. Evident aging, hidden aging, and incessant aging. Evident aging is aging which is evident. Say when we see someone with a broken teeth or someone with eyeglasses maybe, then we know that that person has aged. That person is old. And then for the immaterial states, there is no such evident aging. We cannot see the brokenness of Chaita and Chaita seekers. So here, for them, it is called hidden aging. That is, aging it is, which is which cannot be seen. Just which cannot be seen by the eyes, but which is seen through wisdom or mind. And in earth, water, rocks, the moon, the sun, etc., the aging is called incessant aging. Incessant aging means it is also a hidden aging, because you know this book. This book looks new for maybe 1 month, 2 months, or even a year if you don't use it much. But there is aging going on. But we do not see it getting old or getting aged. So aging in earth, water, and so on is also a hidden aging, but here it is called incessant aging without visible, say, visible difference between one stage and another. So here, by aging is meant the aging of material properties, not of immaterial states. Then the last one is impermanence of matter. That means death of matter, disappearing of matter. So it is a characteristic of complete breaking up. Oh, the last one, physical nutriment. That's the characteristic of nutritive essence. Now, its proximate cause is a physical basis that must be fed with physical food. Here also, the translation is a little inaccurate. The Pali word is kabalikara. So kabala means a morsel. So kabalikara means making a morsel. That means before you eat, you make a morsel. If you eat with hands. So you make a morsel and then you put it in the mouth and eat it. So food is called in Pali kabalikara. So food which is eaten after making it into a morsel, something like that. So its proximate cause is a physical basis. Now, here basis is not a good word. The Pali word is vattu. Vattu can mean a base, like eye base, ear base, and so on. But vattu can also mean a thing, just something. So here, physical basis means just a material thing, which must be swallowed after being made a morsel. But this is the word used in Pali. Simply it is just what you eat, the food. The food is the food itself is not physical nutriment meant here, but something in the food. Something which which helps us destroy anger, hunger, and so on. So that nutritive essence is what is meant here as physical nutriment, not the food itself. But its proximate cause is the food we eat, because we get that nutriment from the food we eat. So these are all together 28 material properties. If you count them, you will get 28. 4 primary elements and 24 dependent ones. So altogether 28. So these firstly are the material instances that have been handed down in the texts. But in the commentary, others have been added as follows. So in the commentaries, others are added. Matter is power, or power is matter, procreation is metta, birth is metta, sickness is metta, and so on. And in the opinion of some, metta is torpor. Now, you know migdha, I mean sloth and torpor. Sloth and torpor are two mental states or mental factors. They are included in the formation aggregate. But there are some teachers who took torpor to be metta. And so it is mentioned here. In the first place, metta as torpor is rejected as non-existence by the words, "Surely thou art a sage enlightened, there are no hindrances in thee." Now, the common opinion is that torpor is not metta, but there are some teachers belonging to another school among the Theravada school, and they took torpor to be metta, and then that is rejected as non-existent. There can be no torpor as matter, and the proof they show is Buddha's words, "Surely thou art a sage enlightened, there are no hindrances in thee." Now, these two lines state that there are no hindrances in the mind of the Buddha. And torpor is included in the hindrances. But in other, especially in Abhidhamma, it is said that material properties cannot be abandoned or cannot be destroyed. Say, only the mental defilements can be destroyed. Say, when a person becomes enlightened, he eradicates mental defilements. So only the mental defilements can be eradicated and not the material properties. But here it is said that Buddha had no defilement, I mean no hindrances. And torpor is included in hindrances. So torpor can be eradicated. If it can be eradicated, it is not rupa, it is not material property. And the other, the rest, metta as sickness is included by aging and by impermanence. Metta as birth by growth and continuity. Metta as procreation by water elements, because when there is water element, something grows. And metta as power by the air element. So taken separately, not even one of these exists. This was the agreement reached. So this was the agreement of majority of teachers. So this derived matter of 24 sorts and the aforesaid matter of the primary elements, which is of 4 sorts, together amount to 28 sorts, neither more nor less. So these are the 28 material properties. And then they are described as of one kind, two kinds, and so on. So the first is what? Is of one kind, as not root cause, because they have no root cause and they are dissociated from root cause and they are with conditions, they are mundane and they are subject to kankas. According to this, there is only one kind of material property. Like, although we are different people, as human being we are one, something like that. So although there are 28 material properties, as having no root cause, or as having conditions, as being mundane, then there is only one rupa, one material property. And then there can be two. It is of two kinds, as internal and external, gross and subtle, far and near, produced and unproduced, produced by four causes: karma, consciousness, temperature, and nutriment. Produced by four causes and unproduced. sensitive matter and insensitive matter, faculty and non-faculty, clung to and not clung to, and so on. Clung to means caused by karma, and not clung to means not caused by karma. And then the detailed explanation of the internal, external, and so on. I think they are not difficult to understand if you have the list ready at hand. So you look at the list and then read this paragraph, and then you will understand easily. At the end of that paragraph, what we shall later describe as karma born is clung to, because that is clung to, that is acquired by karma. I think instead of saying acquired, we should say caused. Say caused by karma. literally, clung to by karma. And clung to by or grasped by karma means taken by karma as its object. So that simply means caused by karma. And then matter are of three kinds, according to the visible triad, the karma-born triad, etc. And as regards the growth, the visible datum is visible with impact. The rest are visible, invisible with impact. All the subtle kinds are invisible without impact. So there are three kinds of material properties. Visible with impact, invisible with impact, invisible without impact. So visible with impact is only one, which is visible data, that is a visible object, and the rest are invisible with impact, and all the subtle kinds are invisible without impact. Now, subtle and gross are explained in the above paragraphs, paragraph 73. Then according to karma born triad, etc., however, that born from karma is karma born, and so on. They are not difficult to understand. So karma born, not karma born, neither karma born nor not karma born. And the same with consciousness, temperature, and nutriment and temperature. And again, it is of four kinds, paragraph 76. As seen, etc., as concrete matter, etc., and as the physical basis, tetrads, and so on. So visible database is seen because it is the objective field of seeing. So it is the object of seeing. So visible data is seen, called seen. And then heard. What is heard? Sound. And then the other ones, the three, that is to say, odors, flavors, and tangible data are sensed, literally contacted, because they are objective fields of faculties that take contiguous or objective fields. The rest are cognized because they are the objective field of consciousness only. So firstly, it is of four kinds according to the seen, etc., treated. And then here, in the footnote, there is a discussion of whether water element can be touched. Is not cool apprehended by touching? Do you think so? And that is water element? Certainly it is apprehended, but it is not the water element. So the cool is not water element. What is it then? It is just the fire element, or temperature. For there is the sensation of cool when heat is sluggish. So when there is little temperature, we say it is cold. And when the temperature rises, we say it is hot. So cold and hot are just the variation in temperature. And so cold is not water element. There is no quality that is called cool. There is only the assumption of coolness due to the sluggishness of the state of it. How is that to be known? Because of the unreliability of the sensation of cool, like beyond and not beyond. That beyond and not beyond is not a correct rendering. It means this bank and the other bank. When we are on this bank, we call the other bank. But when we cross over to the other bank, then this bank becomes the other bank, and the other bank becomes this bank. So here also, when the temperature is low, we call it is cold, and when it is when the temperature has risen, we call it is hot. So hot and cold are relative terms. For in hot weather, while those who stand in the sun and go into the shade have the sensation of cold, yet those who go to the same place from an underground cave have the sensation of heat. And if coldness were the water element, it would be found in a single group along with heat, but it is not so found. So if coldness is water element, then it must coexist with heat. But heat and cold do not coexist. So cold is not water element, because there are four elements everywhere. And if coldness were the water element, it would be found in a single group along with heat, but it is not so far. That is why it may be known, actually we should say it should be known, that coldness is not water element. And that is conclusive for those who agree to the inseparable existence of the primary elements. And it is conclusive too even for those who do not agree, because it is disproved by associated existence and so on. That is difficult to understand. And it is conclusive too for those who say that coldness is the characteristic of the air element. For if coldness were the air element, coldness would be found in a single group along with the same argument. And then, but those who hold the opinion that fluidity is the water element and that is apprehended by touching should be told that fluidity is touched is merely the Venerable One's assumption, as in the case with shape. So we think we see the shape. We look at something and we say we think we see the shape, but what we really see is the visible object there. Shape we do not see, but we think we see. Or in other words, we see the shape in our minds and not with our eyes. What we see with our eyes is just the visible data. So three elements coexisting with fluidity together form what constitutes a tangible. That I succeed in touching this fluidity is a common misconception in the world. So you put your hand into the water and you say it is cold, and then you think that I can touch cold. As a man who touches elements and apprehends a shape, then with his mind fancies, I really have been touching shape, so too fluidity is to be understood. So you pick up a pencil and you think you touch the shape of the pencil, but what you really touch is not the shape of the pencil, but the material properties in the pencil. So water element cannot be touched. What we touch and think as water element is not actually water element, but is fire element, heat or cold. Now, next page. Here, however, produced matter is concrete matter, and space element is the limiting matter, and so on. They are just different names for the one and the same material property. In paragraph 78, now one word is missing in my book. Here, however, what is called the materiality of the heart is physical basis, not door. So heart base is basis, but not door. The two intimations are door, but not physical basis. Is there a word not there? No? Please put not. But not physical basis. Two intimations, bodily intimation and verbal intimation, are said to be door, because they are those through which we do karma, as karma by body, karma by speech. So bodily intimation and verbal intimation are said to be doors of karma. You may read this in the fifth chapter of the manual of Abhidhamma. And they are door, but not physical basis, not vatu. So we should say door, but not physical basis. Sensitive matter is both physical basis and door, like eye sensitivity, ear sensitivity, and so on. The rest are neither physical basis nor door. So it's the four kinds. And the five kinds, born of one, born of two, and so on. Okay. And about the end of the paragraph, at the beginning of the paragraph 80, that is all the rest except matter as characteristic. But matter as characteristic is called not born of anything. So matter as characteristic means that the four mentioned and the previous paragraph, say paragraph 66, growth of matter, continuity of matter, aging, and impermanence of matter. These four are